Welcome to The Holt Story, a podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges in cybersecurity technology. Brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Holt Story, where we go deeper into the topics and technology impacting our industry. I'm your host, Tracy Holtz, and today's guest is Frank Lento, Managing Director in Cisco's Global Security Sales Organization. Frank serves as the head of global security sales, and his responsibilities include key alignments to the individual geo partner teams, Cisco's global partner organization, and all routes to market areas for security. Frank, it's great to have you on The Holt Story. I'm certainly excited to talk about the topics that we're going to cover today. But I know recently you had a big life change. You moved down from New York and now are a permanent resident in Florida. How's that transition going for you?
Well, Tracy, thanks for having me today on the Holt Story. I'm very excited to be here. And yes, as with everything else in the world today, you know, change has been constant. But we did transition from a lifetime in New York. My family is from Long Island, and I've lived there my whole life. Met my wife in Florida back in the 80s, and we moved down about 2 years ago. And it's been a really exciting transition. Before COVID, we were able to share some time back in New York and down here. But with COVID, we've been here permanently, and I'm really enjoying it and making the best of the Florida lifestyle.
That's fantastic. Well, I will say, in this time of the year, it's probably the best time of the year to be in Florida, by all means. And I know we share the same passion for Disney. So maybe one of these days we can venture around and share some stories from that. That would be great.
That would be great.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's go ahead and our listeners today, I know, as you know, they've learned over the last several months with The Holt Story. You know, we've been talking a lot about whether it be pre, post pandemic, but also just cybersecurity in general, and the amount of magnitude of attacks continuing to increase daily, the need for a much higher level of security posture around a zero trust infrastructure. But what I would say is, you know, what's interesting is as there continues to be substantial interest around security because of the mainframe news, you know, ransomware's plaguing everything. You know, it's not a technology stack to me. It's really got to be a whole strategy in an IT organization around having and mitigating risk. What is your thoughts maybe around the technology stack versus risk versus the need around mature infrastructure?
Well, yeah, well, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, we've seen a change in the focus on security and cybersecurity globally, you know, with every customer from the effect of the pandemic, right? And I believe that cybersecurity will intensify further over the years to come and really be seen, as you said, as more of a focused strategy versus a technology stack. And firstly, you know, customers are moving to a cybersecurity architecture, right, versus single point type security products. And that's because they really need to focus on having a strong security posture through all areas of the network, right? Not just the technology stack. It has to be cohesive. And individual security products that protect one element of an architecture are quickly losing popularity. As I said, most customers are focusing on that strong security posture. And Tracy, in order to do that, what we've seen happen and what I've seen focus on is three key areas, right? One is simplicity, right? And it needs to be a simplistic posture for security. And that needs to be accomplished through integration and interoperability of security solutions within the security posture. And then secondly is visibility, right? The visibility to accelerate time to detect problems. You mentioned ransomware and other elements of malicious behavior. That needs to be detected quickly so it can avoid difficulty and problems. And there needs to be efficiency once that's done. So remediation can happen, and it can be done through more automated workflows versus manual intervention. And also, I think the focus that we're seeing today on cybersecurity is also mandated by lots of governments today globally, and many companies are really starting to analyze their risk prior to engaging with new or existing vendors, right? So this whole view on a security strategy, to your point, is a much bigger focus than just a technology stack. And another key thing that I like to look at is what the analysts look at. And I saw a report from Gartner that detailed that by 2025, about 40% of boards of directors will have a dedicated cybersecurity committee to oversee what is taking place for a cybersecurity strategy. So to your point, it's no longer a technology stack of security elements. It's a strategy that needs to be adopted by customers to ensure they have the strongest and most capable posture in their environment possible.
Yeah, I saw that same stat from Gartner around the board of directors and having those individual cybersecurity, more than a CISO, right? But it's specifically right. Be about security. And that to me, is really a paradigm shift. Well, at the boardroom, but also how important cybersecurity is to every company, frankly, around the investments, the risk, and, you know, what outcome could be neglected, you know, should an actual attack occur, right? And how many days that they would be down and the revenues lost. So it's really that paradigm shift of the importance of it. So that shows the significance of security today in the landscape of what every company is seeing. And whether that be a Fortune 100 company all the way down to an SMB, to your point, the automated visibility to efficiencies around remediation are critical in the infrastructure today, because the amount of threats that everyone is seeing in a SOC, in forensics, every minute, every hour is too much for one individual or team even to manage. So they need to have that automation and visibility capabilities then to respond to those attacks as well.
Yes, I agree with you completely on that. In fact, you know, more and more people start to review the companies they're connecting with, because if companies aren't secure and you connect to them, then all of a sudden you become a victim of that vulnerability. And we've also seen like lots of other things happen, like attack vectors changing. I think you commented on that, right? And the ways that we see that companies have to have a stronger focus on security.
Yeah, and I think to that point, the attack vectors have changed. Maybe what are you seeing at Cisco, you know, around just is ransomware still the top issue that you're continuing to see? Are there other attack vectors as well that you're seeing being impacted?
Well, you know, that's a really good point. Ransomware will always be one of those areas that's a big focus, because it's so easy for malicious behavior to happen through a ransomware attack. But, you know, the vectors, as to your point, are changing, and it's really due to the way we've all changed in the way we work. You know, we've all moved into this hybrid workforce, and in order to support those workforces, architectures that companies have to change to support them. And when the whole world went into a hybrid work mode, with most employees working from home or remote locations, those new access locations needed to be secure, right? And as a part of the pandemic, we saw, you know, the magnitude of companies around the world, from big to small, go through and try to put protective elements in. But what we've seen since then is a revisit, right, to ensure that what they did is future-proofing their environment. And if they need to go back and revisit that to make it a more secure posture, as I mentioned before, they're going through that. And one of those areas that we're seeing, Tracy, from attack vectors is, you know, architectures such as SASE, you know, Secure Access Service Edge, and SD-WAN have also added in new exposure planes, and those need to be secure. So when you traditionally had architectures that had single-threaded backhauls to data centers, and all of that changed, where you have these multiple access points now to be able to connect and interconnect to the internet or to your corporate environment, the capability and the complexity around securing all that has become much more intense. And those vectors now, outside of ransomware, can be intruded on by malicious behaviors or detectors, and those can be exploited in an environment. So to keep it simple, I think of security now as the network being delivered as a subscription from the cloud, and that is becoming much more broadly adopted. And in those cases, those are the factors that we have to focus on from attack and attack vectors.
Yeah, that's a great point. And certainly, you know, I think through the pandemic and the current state of this hybrid workforce that we're in and will continue being in for, you know, the long term, you know, it has brought a different paradigm to cybersecurity, right? Around, you know, cloud architectures. And as that digital transformation continues to ramp, the need for cloud security becomes even more imperative in how we protect those workloads. When you talked about quite a bit about SASE, Secure Access System Edge, when you think about that, just how do customers protect themselves in this current environment and prepare for the future?
That's another transition point. So just like I transitioned and moved to Florida, you have to make lots of changes, right? And what we actually were working with customers on a very cohesive way prior to the pandemic was business continuity. People always had to make sure that their environments were available, right, to be able to transact business. And that was a strong focus across the board, again, at all types of customer types, big, small, no matter what industry they were in. But that's changed. We've moved from business continuity to a business resiliency environment, meaning even if the environment is up and running, it needs to be secure and protected because the vulnerabilities and security can take the business continuity down. So there's no resiliency. So this provides the capability to be able to connect, right? So we make it secure and we make sure that it's done right. And business continuity focused on VPN, MFA, and firewall. So those were like the basic components for the mainstream customer, whereas business resiliency is now focusing on the platform or the architecture in total and doing it with elements like zero trust and cloud along the edge with SASE, as you mentioned. And these are some of the elements that we see customers moving to and will continue to move to. So they're prepared for the future because the future requirements are the ones that need to be embedded into their changes today and their transitions from a business continuity environment to a business resiliency environment.
Yeah, thank you for that. And Zero Trust, you know, it's interesting because Zero Trust has been around for several years, you know, a significant amount of years, but there's a lot of attention and noise around Zero Trust over the last year. And, you know, one of the things that a key component of Zero Trust is around identity. And you talked about MFA, and certainly Cisco has a very prominent position in this area too, with some acquisitions you've made. When you step back from, you know, really thinking about Zero Trust and identity, is it really just that, and it's interesting because I'm going to kind of maybe pause and put an analogy around this. When you think about Zero Trust, and the attention, is it really all about that passwords today are antiquated method for managing identity? Or do you feel that there's a different level of heightened visibility around Zero Trust because of the threat attack vectors that are out there today?
I actually think it's the latter that you mentioned, right? Passwords are passwords, no matter how frustrating it is to remember them, they're only one element of the equation. And what we see now is zero, or as I like to say, continual trust is a lot more than passwords now, right? So protecting a business requires, as we mentioned, a comprehensive security platform. So the focus is on continual trust and constant threat intelligence. So you have to be able to ensure that you are allowing things to take place in your environment that you approve of, but you also have to continue to ensure that you're scanning for threats, and you need that intelligence built into the environment so you can detect them as soon as possible and then remediate them. And in order to do that, Tracy, you know, you really require a broad security portfolio of solutions that span across, that I like to chop this up into four key areas, right? The first is the network, The second is the user or endpoint. The third is the cloud edge. And the fourth is the application. And when you look at each one of those key areas, right, you can kind of focus zero trust into an architecture, right? So the network includes firewall and IPS, network access control, traffic analytics, which is so important to have, and of course, secure web gateway. The user or endpoint includes endpoint protection, of course. It also includes detection and response and multi-factor authentication and email security. The cloud edge includes cloud access security, DNS layer security, secure web gateway, cloud delivered firewall, and of course, cloud analytics. And then of course, the application includes workload protection. So to have a true zero trust or continuous trust security posture, all of these elements are required and they really must be interoperable. So zero trust, as you said before, was a thing of the years ago around passwords, but now it's become more of a security posture. And I keep hitting on that security posture because that's where we see customers moving to, having that secure environment across the entire architecture, not just individual points within it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it goes back to the risk factor too, right? Because all of those elements have critical risk scores and will then really challenge companies around whether it be cyber insurance or potentially how much, millions of dollars they could be at risk should one of those technologies fail around that zero trust methodology framework, really that it is. So no, that's a great perspective. And thank you for sharing that with our listeners. Yeah, what I'd like to maybe shift to, if you'd allow me to, is Cisco. Very incredible company, right? Made lots of acquisitions over the last several years and continue to enhance your portfolio around security. Can you share with our listeners today, really, what's all in Cisco's security portfolio these days?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for bringing that up. Yes, we have had our own security solutions for many years, but through acquisitions, we have really broadened the portfolio to ensure that we have a comprehensive security architecture and solution set for our customers. And our goal is to try and drive the security posture again throughout customer environments as they adopt and include these types of solutions within their environment. So I think I mentioned before, some of the acquisitions that we did was MFA was Duo, right? Duo is one of the world leading MFA technologies, and it's been growing significantly at Cisco, especially as an outcome of the pandemic. But we've also driven simplicity into Duo, where we're moving towards the next level of MFA, right? Which we could discuss a little bit. But as I mentioned before, in those four key areas, we drive at Cisco the capability to build that secure posture, right? So we can have malware analytics done throughout the environment to ensure that you're future-proofing your technology and your architecture. And we do that across those four elements: network, user endpoint, cloud edge, and application. And we like to say at Cisco that we are the only company in the world that offers a cohesive platform for your security requirements versus what we've seen out in the market many years ago, where many companies would have 40 to 50 to 60 different vendor security solutions within their environment. And what we've seen happen as an outcome of that is complexity. And that complexity prohibits the capability for companies to have a simplistic overview and insight into what is actually transpiring in their network at their user or endpoint. What is interacting at their cloud edge, and also what's going on with their applications. We've seen cybersecurity intensify itself from an intelligence perspective where, as you mentioned before, it's more than just a password being hacked, but actually workloads of malicious content being dumped into applications. And that visibility needs to be seen. So Cisco's viewpoint on having a true portfolio of solutions to build a platform enables our customers to have that cohesive security posture.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I know you've made, you know, great strides around your security focus and very impressive. Duo is, to your point, the next level of NFA is an interesting topic to me because, you know, there's so many different particular ways that MFA is growing in a sense of sophistication, whether that be bios and, you know, different things. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that because I'd love to get the listeners intrigued where MFA is going in the market. But, you know, simply put, you know, Cisco is very impressive with their security portfolio. Plus, you know, we've got a very strong partnership for many, many years now together. And, you know, we've been working around enabling our partners around their security, whether that be from assessments, whether that be from technology or partner enablement, training, certifications, things of that nature. Where do you see the biggest barrier to partner success today, particularly around cybersecurity?
Well, Tracy, I think you brought up a really good point, right? Tech Data and Cisco are truly huge partners. And through your tremendous partner environment, we've been able to have great success together. And I think that one of the areas that we've worked on significantly with, especially Tech Data, is working with customers to make sure they understand the necessity around security. Because to your point, we've talked about topics like, is zero trust more than passwords, or is security more than just a few elements that you need to be aware of today, or do you have to be more aware of a cohesive environment to future-proof yourself? And one of the key areas that I like to focus on when we work together as two companies are making sure that the partners that we deal with and the customers that they deal with understand the necessity for that for the requirement of that strong posture in security. And a lot of partners that we have jointly together sell one or two solutions. And what we do is work with you to enable them to be knowledgeable and enabled to be able to sell across the entire platform. And that does a few good things, right? First of all, it helps provide the right solutions to the end customers to ensure that they're getting that strong security architecture. And it also helps our partners, right, grow and retain the security environment within all of their customers. And now we're seeing ourselves working together, to your point, being able to have more simplistic conversations around security, being able to knowledge share that with our joint customers, and then being able to enable all of our partners to sell across the entire platform. And whether it's done at point of sale, whether it's done through software EAs, or whether it's done through a managed solution, all of those types of offerings to the customers are those that we work together on, and I would say have been, you know, significantly successful with over the years.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And really enabling the partners around multi-technologies will only greater provide them proficiencies around being more an expert thought leader around those segments, and then also technically enable them as well. So it's all great stuff that we're working on together, and frankly, lots of more work to be done around helping them as technologies grow, but technically, sales-wise, and, you know, helping a business outcomes for any partner is really where we both can make a difference in this business. So really exciting times, and really appreciate the partnership between Cisco and Tech Data.
And we do also.
Fantastic. Well, let's, you know, I know I've taken a lot of your time and I'm really excited to have you on. I think we'll definitely have to have you back again. And I think we've teed it up, right? It's around, you know, the next level of MFA, and we'll have to schedule that because I'd love to go deeper into MFA and where you're seeing the market shift in that technology, but then also just the future of MFA, because that to me is a very fascinating and it's consistently evolving. And I think it's a greater need within any company as, you know, hybrid workforces come into place, but also the future of technology and workplaces as well. So I think there's so many different kind of particular MFA business cases that are coming out with this new infrastructure. So I'd love to have you on again, if you would be open to it, Frank. This has been a great conversation.
I'd love to come back, and I'd even bring one of my resident MFA experts with me if you'd like, and talk a little bit more about that. And the interesting thing to your point about MFA is Many people think it's all for companies, but it's actually becoming very consumer-based also now. People need to be protected when they connect to anything, anywhere, and everywhere going forward. And that means all of us. So I really do appreciate the time spent together today, Tracy, and would be more than happy to come back and talk further.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And you brought up a great point. I mean, I think just in general, if you told me 15 years ago that I would have 20 plus connected devices in my house, I would have said no. There's no way I see that coming. And look, I think I'm over that threshold today. So I think we all are in what's the future and the way that we actually work with technology and how technology evolves our life, right? So I think that'd be a great segment for one of our next sessions. So love to have that. And Frank, it's been such a pleasure. I really, really appreciate your time, the partnership with Cisco, you know, really interested around continuing to stay engaged around what Cisco security and how we can't help partner together, enabling our partners, leveraging our cyber range, but also leveraging all the great expertise that we have at Tech Data around our Cisco practice. So great, great conversation. And I hope you enjoy the holidays and get to spend some time with that beautiful family, and look forward to having you on again.
Well, thank you, Tracy, very much. And I hope you also have a great holiday season and look forward to seeing you and meeting with you again. And thank you to all of your listeners for spending time with me also today.
Thank you. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Tracy.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd really appreciate you taking the time to subscribe using your favorite podcast application. We are hosted on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and many other podcast platforms. We're adding new podcasts monthly, and you can also access our podcast at theholtstory.com. Thanks again.